up with my grand youngins, okay? My boys, my wife, I took them last night to the airport. And she's just, you know what she's doing. She's probably holding that grand girl right now, or that little Zeke. But y'all pray for them. She's going to be gone a couple of weeks, but she needed that time with them. Don't get to see them enough. But I'm glad you're here. I'm glad that I'm here. We're going to be reading kind of in several different places this morning. You know, we put our messages out on, I don't know if it's Facebook, the internet, and people can look at them and make comments. And one comment last week was made by a lady. She said, "If you want to know who's going to heaven, he will tell you!" Exclamation point. And I read that and I said, I don't know how to take that. She meant that in a good way, or I think she meant it in a good way. Well, this morning we're going to talk about heaven. We're going to talk about heaven. And here's the title of the message: is Headed for Heaven. You know, none of us want to get the call that our loved ones are sick. None of us want to lose our parents. None of us want to lose our loved ones, but it happens. As I began to think about it this week, and I thought about this church, and I thought about the people that are dear to me, and some of them in the hospital, some of them very ill, not knowing sometimes what you're going to find out when you get there. Some of us have been praying for mothers, and we got family members that are well up in years. And I tell you what we pray for every time, we pray for a miracle. We want God to do something. You know why? It's almost like we think we're going to live forever. You're not. Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. But here's something to understand. We want to keep them as long as we can. I want to tell you all this. I want to go to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I have no doubt in my mind. Sometimes people make a comment to me. They tell me to go to the other place. I hate to hear people talk like that. But you know, I can't go because Jesus Christ blood has been applied to my life. I'm going to heaven without question, without doubt. Nothing you could say or do that'll make me doubt that, because I've got it, okay? Bible says that you can know that you know that you know, and I know. And I'll tell you why I know. It's not because I've done anything good. It's not because I'm a member of Hiram First Baptist Church. It's not because I'm a preacher. It's not because my dad is a preacher. It is because I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I've taken everything in my life and I've laid it at His feet and asked for His mercy. That's why I'm going to heaven, okay? Now, I thought about this, and I'm going to read in just a minute, but I thought about the church, and I thought about this board right here. This is in loving memory of, and this is Hiram First Baptist Church. These are the names of the members of this church that have passed away since this church has been in order. Now, here's what I want you to understand. You look at this board, and you see how much room there is on this board. Well, why would you buy such a big board for such a few names? I'll tell you why, folks. There's going to be more. Every one of us have an appointment, and we're going to stand before God. And you cannot, no matter what you do, take and change that when God calls your name. Right. You know, one thing about this list on here, we have teenagers on here, very young. Yes. We have people in their 30s on here, and then we have people who have lived a full and complete life, and we have no idea what tomorrow holds for us. But one thing we know, being in this body, is we will not live forever. Now, I don't believe it was God's plan for us to from the beginning. He's got something for us, okay? Something better for us. And I was sitting right here thinking about heaven just a minute ago as they were singing. And here's one thing I thought. Have y'all thought about this? It just hit me. There probably won't be any humidity in heaven. I just begin to sit there. See, I've said this before, and this is what I believe. I believe it's heaven is everything good and nothing bad. Now, here's what I want you ladies to understand. It's going to be the perfect temperature. If you like it 90, it'll probably be 90. But I'll be walking around just with a cool, like almost like a cool halo around me all the time, and I'll be cool. No more fanning, no more sweating. Heaven's going to be everything that you'd want, and none of the things we don't, okay? Now, I thought about a song this week, and some of you may hear it. I love those old songs, like the one they sang a while ago, "This Is Just What Heaven Means to Me." Here's one I thought about, is I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. Now, I want every person here to begin to think about that for just a minute. I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. I got saved when I was 12 years old, and I wasn't really thinking much about heaven. I just felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit as it spoke to my heart, let me know that what that preacher was preaching was meant for me. And I got saved, but I'll tell you what's happened in my life since then. I've lost my dad. I've lost my grandparents on both sides. I have a sister in heaven. I have one child in heaven. You know, we have loved ones in heaven. I have people. And as you know, as you look at these songs that we play up here sometimes, and some of the people that sang the song, and they sang one while ago, Outside the Gate, some of the people on that screen are now in heaven. Some of those preachers that signed the ordination paper when I was ordained, most of them are in heaven. For every one of us here today, the older you get, you have more to the point sometimes waiting for you on the other side than you have on this side. Now, I'm not ashamed to say I'm a Christian. I'm not ashamed to say I'm going to heaven. But let me tell you this, and some people don't like this song. I asked them to play it this morning. Praise God, I'm not going to hell. I met, what's it say? I met the Savior. What a story I'll tell. He's changed my life, and he's still changing me every day, helping me be more of what he wants me to be. Now, you think about this, because I got some good stuff to talk about. Where are you headed? If God said today's the last day you're going to be on this earth, where are you headed? You going to heaven? Do you know for sure? I want to tell you something before we leave here today. You can. These altars are open. You can get up and come while I'm preaching if God speaks to you just right. The time to move is when the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart. Where are you headed? I'm headed for heaven. Heaven is mentioned 550 times in your Bible. 22 times you find the word heavenly, and 127 times you find the word heavens. If you go to 2 Corinthians, and I can't read all the scripture. You know, there's just too much in the Bible for me to preach it one Sunday, okay? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses number 2 through 4, Paul talks about this being caught up to the third heaven and hearing unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. Here's what I want you to understand about that. You know, if we understand what's around us, the first heaven is up to the ozone layer. The second heaven is what's beyond that we can see and fathom with our mind. The third heaven is what's beyond that God has prepared. Space goes for infinity, folks. And how far is heaven? It don't matter if when you close your eyes in death, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If we travel at the speed of thought immediately in the spirit, if we're dead here, we're home with God in heaven. Okay? Paul said, I was caught up. Here's what I believe that scripture teaches. I got to move, though. I believe God allowed him to see things that were so wonderful because he was able to see what heaven was like that he wouldn't even allow him to write about it because this world could not contain it. But he saw it. That's why I believe when they took him up, history says, speaking of Paul, when they took him up out of the Lamartine prison and they took him to the chop block, history says he ran. You know why? He was not afraid to die. He had already seen what God had prepared for him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6 and verse number 8. Paul teaches that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Immediately, I believe for a Christian, when you die, you're with God. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2 and verse number 4. Paul understood that heaven was real. Remember, God let him see it. Therefore, the closer he walked with God and the more he learned about God, the more he realized that he would never be complete in this body. That's why he desired that heavenly body. You see, for some of us, and I'll tell you kind of where I'm at. I just went and bought me a truck. Praise the Lord, I love that thing. I like that truck. Thank God he let me have it, okay? Praise the Lord. But I tell you what's going to happen to it. It's going to get miles on it. Tires going to wear out. All that electrical stuff that they make you put on and out, it's going to start to tear up. And if you think, I know how you young people think, if I could just have that truck, if I just have that car, I'd never want anything else. Yes, you will. You get old like me. It'll wear out. But I tell you what happens to that truck when it wears out, what do? You go look for another. But I tell you where we're at in this body, and some of us are experiencing it, the body starts to wear out. The muscles start to weaken. The joints start to deteriorate. The cartilage is gone. And sometimes it's like this. I tell people, they say, well, you ought to exercise. I said, my joints can't handle it. It's bone against bone. I can't exercise the muscle because the joints hurt too bad. You ever wanted to think I could just go and trade this body for a new body and keep my mind and all the learning that I've done? Well, guess what? One day we're going to get to. Praise God. You see, I believe that God has prepared something for us. And here's the first thing I want you to understand about heaven. Heaven is a prepared place. You know, if the Lord created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and you can believe whatever you want to about a gap theory or whatever, but here's what I want you to understand. He's been working on heaven for a long time. And the scripture says in John chapter 14, verse number 1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, here's something to understand about that. The Lord's coming back. We believe he is. The Bible says he is. No man knows the day. We know the signs point to it. Some people, and I've heard them say it recently, and I'm not prompting this when I ask them or even talk to them, they say, I believe the Lord's coming back in my lifetime. I used to didn't believe that, but I believe that today. Well, he's coming soon. I don't know when, but let's just say he doesn't come in my lifetime. He's one day going to come for me. And when he comes for me, he's going to take me to a prepared place that he has prepared for me. And I believe when I get there, I'm going to see him. I'm going to see my loved ones. Those that know Jesus Christ as your Savior. You see, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, it says this, that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, even the deep things of God. I'll tell you what I enjoy most about this life. It's being in the house of God with God's people. It's feeling the Holy Spirit. I love that. You know, sometimes I don't know how people who don't have a personal relationship with God, who are Christians, but they're not worshiping God regularly, can be happy in this life. Because everything that you have in this life, the Bible says, to lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. If you get something, you better lock it up, right? You better take care of it. You better wash it or the mold will grow on it, right? The rust will come because this life is cursed. But what God has for us is all the, remember, all the good with none of the bad. Okay? We begin to understand it when we're able to sit together in heavenly places and we feel the Spirit of God, the sweet peace of God, the comfort of God, the love of God. And we understand a little bit of what God has for us. You ever sat down to build something and you realize once you get started, my budget just won't stand all this? That's not the case in heaven. There's no budget constraints. He's the master designer. He is the creator. He knows our every need. And here's a verse of scripture that I like. You say, well, where does he get all his thoughts? Listen to this verse. Psalms chapter 37, verse number 4 says this, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Sometimes when I think about heaven and I think about that verse, I cannot help but believe that when I get there, I am going to be overwhelmed with what God has for us. I do. You see, it's a prepared place, and I like this. It's a reuniting place. You see, I believe when we get to heaven, we're going to see Jesus. And here's what I believe about that. I read last week out of the book of Revelation, and it talks about how Jesus will come and the way he will come and what he will appear like and the countenance and how it will shine and how his voice will be as the sound of many waters. He's not going to be a babe in a manger. He's not going to have on carpenter shoes and sandals. See, I tell you what he's going to be. He's going to be the king. But I believe as a Christian, when I see him, I'm going to recognize him. And I'm going to know him. But I'm going to recognize him as king and as Lord. But I'm also going to recognize him as my king, my Lord, my Savior, and my friend. I'm not afraid when I think about it. If the Lord were to decide right now, I'm coming, and the eastern sky were to split, and we were to hear a sound like we've never heard before, and look up and see a heaven open, and God standing there arrayed in all of His glory, and all of our loved ones standing around Him. Didn't He say He's going to bring them with Him? I tell you what I do. I wouldn't run and hide in fear, but I would say, hey, I told you He's coming. That's my Lord. That's my Jesus. That's my Savior. Some people are going to be afraid. But see, I'm going to see Jesus. I will recognize Him. When Jesus was on the cross, and you find this in Luke chapter number 23, on each side of Him, there was a thief. They said, He'll tell you who's not going to heaven. Well, listen, I'm about to tell you. There was one on one side that mocked Him and said, if you're the Lord, then why don't you take yourself down from the cross and us? That's why a lot of people look at God today. Well, if He's God, then why this, why that, why that? Remember, like the song said, you asked Him to leave. Okay? But there was one on the other side that said, Lord, remember me when thou enterest into thy kingdom. Well, here's what the Bible said about that man. It said, Jesus said to him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say you're going to go into a long sleep and you're going to wake up in heaven in about 2,000 years. He said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. And he was with Jesus. You go all the way back to the book of Job. Some people believe it's the oldest book in the Bible. Here's what Job said of himself, speaking of his relationship with God. He said, though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold. You see, he was talking about his hope of eternal life in heaven, and he's saying, when I see Him, I'm going to know who He is. I'm going to know Him, and if you're saved, you'll know Him. People say, well, how do you believe in a God you can't see? He's all over me. He's all inside of me. And I feel Him. And here's what I want us to understand. Every person has a God-shaped hole inside of you. And unless you can put everything else in the world in it, it'll never be content and filled without a relationship with God. You see, we'll see Jesus. But I like this. And I'm just going to be honest. I'm looking forward to this. It's a reuniting place because we're going to see our loved ones. You see, I sometimes get to thinking about my dad so much. And I was over there and I bought my first Ford. I know some of you Chevrolet people can't stand the thought of that. But I can remember growing up, my dad always drove an old Ford. And even after he got sick, I used to go and pick him up and we'd go down to McDonald's and we'd go through and we'd get a cup of coffee with two creams. And I would take him and we would just ride and look at trucks. And I can remember taking my dad just to ride and look at trucks and drink coffee and we'd talk. And when I rolled off of that lot with that truck, I sat there with tears rolling down my face thinking, I wish my dad could take a ride in this truck. I wish my dad were here. You say, as a lot of people spend their whole life serving God, living down here, and they never have the blessings that you and I have had. God's been good to us. But I begin to think about Him, and I begin to talk to the Lord. And the Lord let me know and understand that one day we'll get to be together again. One day we'll get to sit down and we'll talk about it again. You know, I miss being able to go over and sit down on a porch and talk to Him. He was the best counselor of my life. But I'm going to see Him again. I got a little sister in heaven. 3 years old, passed away with cancer. She's in heaven. My wife and I lost a child. I believe with all my heart it was a little girl. I believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to recognize her. What did David say? You remember, you know the story in 2 Samuel chapter number 12 and verse number 22. He had a son that was born. And the prophet came and said, that son's going to die. David laid on his face before God and he prayed and he wouldn't eat and he fasted. And here's what he did. He begged God to save that child. But it wasn't God's will. That child died, and they were whispering behind David and talking. They said, if he fasted and cried this way while the child was alive, what is he going to do now that it's dead? Here's what he did. He heard them whispering, and he got up, and he washed his face, and he washed his hands, and he said this, I can't bring him back, but I can go and be with him. You go on a little farther, and you find David speaking to his older son, and he said this. He said, I go the way of all the earth. You know, you say, well, why do you talk about death? I want you to understand something, folks. Death is a part of living because you'll never have your new body in this life. You'll never be free of the curse in this life. You'll never be free of pain in this life. That's why this is just a starting place for us to make it to eternity. I was up in Asheville, North Carolina. Went up there to see the Primitive Quartet, but there was a gospel group there called Soul Vision, and I'd never heard of them before. But they got up there and they sang a song, and the man announced the song before he sang it. The name of the song was This Could Be the Day. And in the middle of the song, while he was singing, he just hollered out, I'm going to see my son. And he was singing. Now, this man's son, I would have tell you, he would probably have been a teenager or somewhere along those lines. I don't know. Could have been a young child when he died, but he wouldn't have been an old man. But as I was sitting there in that crowd, and I looked around me, and I want to tell you, it's a different crowd, okay? And I looked around, and I saw the salt of the earth sitting on that field and people sitting there that were praising and worshiping God. When he cried out, I'm going to see my son, I want to tell you, I felt something inside of me. It was just like my heart was being squeezed because I felt that pain. I felt that longing. I felt that desire. But here's the assurance that he had. He wasn't quitting on God. He wasn't blaming God, but he was worshiping God and he was praising God. And you know what he said? It's almost like this. I can't bring him back, but I can go and be with him. Amen. You see, it's a reuniting place. I believe also it's a peaceful place. Jesus called it paradise. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. You see, I believe that when we get there, we will be satisfied. I just don't know what more to say. People ask, well, is this going to be in heaven? You're going to like it. I don't believe you'll get there and say, well, God, I kind of thought it would be. No. I believe when we see it, we're going to be in awe. I believe when we stand before God, we're just going to bow and worship Him. And when we bow and worship Him, what did the psalmist say? He said, He is the lifter of my head. Can you imagine falling at the feet of Jesus and Jesus just reaching down and taking and raising you up before Him and wrapping His arms around you? That's what I'm looking forward to. You see, it's a peaceful place. Let me read you this in Revelation chapter 21. It said, and I saw, this is John the Revelator. He said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Can you imagine that? No more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, no more hurt, no more physical hurt. But I'll tell you something, sometimes it goes beyond the physical. It's when your heart's hurt. When your heart's broke or when your heart's tore out. It's like I've heard a mother is never happier than her least happy child. That's why what these workers in this church do to help somebody that's in trouble. You're not just saving a person, you're saving a family. You know? No more pain, no more tears, no more death, no more sorrow, no more crying. You know, I went up to the hospital Tuesday night, and I walked in kind of late, and my mother was there. And her oxygen level was down to 70. And her head was hung so low that they had to hold her head up so she could talk to me. And I looked at her and I said, "That's my mother. And I don't know how much longer I'm going to have her on this earth. But I want to tell you something. Why do you not get more upset than you do? I want to tell y'all something, folks. I'll be 54 my birthday. I don't know how much more I'm going to have. Okay, I'm not ashamed to be 54 and going bald, okay? I just thank God that I have a good pair of progressive trifocals. Y'all know, I hope y'all don't mind when I preach. I don't wear dress shoes. I wear these Rockports because they're the only thing that keeps my knees and ankles from hurting. So I'm thankful for them. But I want to tell you something else. Here's what our hope is. It's just almost like, where you been? And you're going to turn around, and there they are. That's the way our life is. My first grandson just turned 10. My daughter just turned 28. I was at work this week, and the guy was standing there, and he started talking, and I was listening to him, and he was telling how old he was. I said, "Man, I've been married long as you've been alive." But can we not say that it goes by quick? Why did the psalmist write in Psalms 90 and 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts into wisdom"? You see, heaven's going to be a reuniting place. It's going to be a peaceful place. But I want to tell you something. We got work to do here. Yes. You know, I'm going to heaven and I want to go. But you ever heard people say, "Well, I want to go, but not today"? Here's what I want to do today. I want to do whatever God has for me. Yes. Can I tell you something, church? We got work to do. We got work to do for the Lord here, and we can sit together in heavenly places. We can have fellowship. We can have love for one another. We can forgive one another, and we can see God do great things in this church if we'll just surrender to His will and let Him be first. You know what? People need to be saved. If I believe what I'm preaching and what I'm saying, I tell you what, I'm going to want everybody out there to have it. And when I try to share it with them, it's going to break my heart when they just, here's what people say, "I don't believe that. I don't want that." Well, they're not going to have it. They're not going to have it. See, but for me, I'm going to have everything. It's like the song they sang, "Outside the Gate." You know, you ever thought about what's going to be outside the gates of heaven? I know it ain't exactly like this, but I want you to imagine this. Can you imagine as you're going up to heaven and you got your walker and you got your artificial hip and your plastic knees and your trifocals, and you get to the gate and God says, "Well, you can't bring that in here." And you step across the threshold and you got a brand new body outside the gate. It's crutches and it's walkers and it's wheelchairs and it's pain and it's sorrow, but it's all left outside the gate. And here's something great about it. It's a permanent place. You know, sometimes our joy down here is temporal. I go through that sometimes at work. Sometimes it's rough. I mean, it's thorns and thistles. And when I have a good day, I'll just be honest with you, it scares me. What's coming? What's coming? You know, when things are going right, don't get too comfortable. It's going to change. That's why I tell people at work, I said, don't get too high when it's good. Don't get too low when it's bad. It's going to change. Just do the best that you can. But here's what I want you to understand about heaven. It's going to be good. And it's going to stay good. And it's going to stay good. And it's going to stay good. And it's going to be better than your any wildest imagination you have. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse number 13, it says this. It says, "But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, our loved ones, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Well, who are those that have no hope? It's those that don't know Jesus. You know, it'd be terrible to be at the funeral of a loved one, a dead, a mother, a spouse, a child. And you know that they're going to be with the Lord because they're a Christian and you don't know Him. That's what that's talking about.
We might sorrow because we love them, but we don't sorrow as those who have no hope because we have hope. He says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. Now, there's going to be some that will be here. I may not be, but I thought a lot of times I would be. What this teaches us is when the Lord comes, all our loved ones are going to be coming with him. And he's just going to speak. Scripture says in the 16th verse, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And then it says, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And now listen, why are you preaching this? Listen to the 18th verse. Here's why. This is the message. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Now I want to tell you something. None of us ever want to lose a loved one. And when we think about this life, can I tell you this? There's a line in a, you know, I'm just me, okay? There's a line in a movie, I will fight no more forever. Some of you have probably seen that Chief Joseph. And they're talking. And they're talking about going to war. And he makes a comment. He said, if I did not love my life, it would not be worth dying for. Now, here's something to understand about this life. There's a lot in this life that I love. I mentioned last week catfish and cheese grits, and somebody sent me a picture at lunch. They had to go get it. And I could talk about other things today that I love. And I believe, what does it say? Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Yes. There's going to be so many blessings that God's going to pour out on you and on I as his children. And we're going to ever be with the Lord. The pain and the suffering is here. And it's going to be washed away because the scripture says that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. Now what does that mean? I mean God's going to clean it all. You know, people say, well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask this question and that question and I'm going to find out about this. I don't know the answers to those things. But I believe you're going to be content. I believe you're going to be satisfied, and I believe all the pain of this life is going to be behind us. I don't understand it all here, but I can remember something a very wise man told me one time. He said, do not let the things that you do not understand conflict or confuse the things that you do. This Bible, if you look at what's written in Thessalonians here, it refers to the Word. It says, according to the Word. What has the Word taught us? I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try to come to a close in a minute. See, although I have loved ones there, although Jesus is going to be there, it's personal. Nobody can go to heaven for me. I can't go for nobody. See, what it's about, it is for those who have accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ. You know, there are people today that are absolutely doing everything they can to work their way into heaven. And when you try to talk to them, the truth is, they cannot tell you if they're going or not. So when they walk up to you and they got their little paper and you want to give it to them, if you really want to send them running, just ask them if they know they're going to heaven. They don't know. I had one of them come up to me one time and I was in my garage and it was a young one and a well-seasoned one. I got to talking to him and quoting scripture, and I thought we were going to have revival right there and see somebody saved. But you know what? It was pride in the heart that kept them from simply saying, Lord, would you just be merciful to me, a sinner, rather than, God, let me do my best to work my way in. That's how simple it is. You see, anything you bring to Jesus, it's under the blood. It's not about us. It's not what we did yesterday. It's not really even about what we do tomorrow. So are you saved by the grace of God or not? Have you accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ? You ever met anybody that says, I don't believe in God and I don't believe in heaven? Well, guess what? They ain't going. If you meet somebody that's humble, that drops their head when they talk about the grace of God because they need grace really bad, all they got to do is say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And you're covered. But if you've never made that step, if you've never asked God in your heart, if you've rejected Him, you're not covered. See, where are you headed? I'm going to heaven because of what Jesus did. So who's not going? Those who do not want to go, those who do not believe, and those who have never opened their heart to Christ. What does it take to be saved? It takes submitting. I've heard all kind of testimonies since I've been at this church, and I've greatly enjoyed them, where people will say, I'm not going to church. I'm not going down there. Don't invite me to come. And all the while, there's a turmoil inside because they know they need a personal relationship with God. They've just not surrendered. You know, I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday, and the older I get, the more there is. Heard a preacher say this, and I'm going to ask him to get ready with a song. He said, you know, I started out serving the Lord when I was young, and now I'm old. He said, my mom and dad's in heaven. This particular preacher, he had a brother to go to heaven when he was 35 years old. His brother was 35. He said, you know, I've got to the point that when I look at this life and I look at that life, I'm seeing more over there than I'm seeing here. But you know, until the Lord calls us, we're going to be here and we're going to be doing the work that God wants us to do. But you got to be ready. We don't know. We don't know. And I tell you, one of the most difficult or saddest moments for me is when I'm called to preach a funeral and the family cannot tell me of their testimony. We're not playing church. This is serious. I'm going to heaven. And if we look at this right here, I came to the church right here. When I came to this church, there were three names on this board. I've been here for 5 years. Now, I've done a whole lot more funerals than that since I've been here. But what's going to be in the next 5 years? You say, well, I'm not old. Some of these aren't. The question this morning is, are you going to heaven? Where are you headed? They're going to play a great song. The altars are open. I know God's speaking to hearts. Maybe somebody just needs to come and pray and get some comfort from the Lord. What did the scripture say? It didn't say be upset about these things. He said comfort one another with these words. Maybe you're here this morning, you need some comfort. Maybe you need to make sure. You need to know that you know that you know. I'm going to ask you to rise to your feet as they sing this song. The song is, I'll Be There. If you don't know that you'll be there, would you please step out and come and ask the Lord to do what only He could do. It's just about surrendering. You can be saved right where you stand. But maybe God wants you to take that step so He'll know you're moving. Would you please come?